Can we get much higher?
Hello to you, Nick Del Santo.
Very good afternoon to you, Andy.
Are you going well?
I'm going very well. Thank you. Had a lovely weekend.
Did you really?
I'm starting to get some tips right more than anything.
Yeah, I think a few people are straightening up their tipping. Mm. Last 2 weeks have been a bit more predictable, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, now we're starting to on what we actually have seen in regards to evidence over the previous weeks rather than what we think should happen because that hasn't been happening.
While you're in good tipping form, what happens to Gary Ablett?
Gary Ablett gets a fine.
So they're going to grade it. They're going to grade it.
You know I don't do the grading system.
They're going to grade it careless.
Yes.
Careless conduct.
Yes.
Low impact.
Careless conduct. Low impact. Yes. So what's that worth?
That's a fine.
That's a fine.
So high to the body, $1,500 fine. $1,000 if he takes the early plea.
Do you see any comparison to any previous examples? Yeah, I remember the one with Fife. I think it was against Levi Greenwood at the MCG. Had that same sort of jumping.
Well, you don't have to go last week. Young Jimmy Cousins from Hawthorn.
What did he get?
He got a week.
He got one?
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen?
I've got no idea.
There's conspiracy theories. I've already read some stuff on social media.
Is that right?
It is, you know, it's Gary Ablett Jr. and the AFL will take care of him and they want their best players out there.
It
didn't suit Cousins last week because he's not a big name player. Do you buy into some of that banter?
Who was it recently that said that the big name players should receive different treatment?
Someone said that. I haven't heard that. Well, that's not right.
Only a few weeks ago somebody said that. Yeah.
Wasn't you, was it?
It was Chris Judd. Spot on, teammates. It was Chris Judd on Footy Classified.
Said the best players should be looked after a little bit more.
He said they deserve different treatment.
They do get different treatment. Their pay packet.
Yeah, that's right.
It looks a lot different.
And that's exactly, I think one of his co-panelists might have mentioned that. But Juddy's view, without remembering exactly everything that he said verbatim, was that they're dragging around players who have got one role and one purpose, and that is to stop them, and they don't get, no one else gets the sort of treatment that the good players get, and they have to put up with more, so they deserve different treatment when it comes to,
because that frustration builds up a little bit more when you're getting tagged and some attention.
This is, if Juddy's listening and he wants to call in, 1-300-736 we might ask a few other things, Juddy, so don't call in.
Can I ask you a question?
If you are listening, feel free to call in.
Can I ask you a question off the back of three really good first quarters?
One thing about Ablett, there's no need to have the forearm where it was.
Maybe.
There's no need to put it there, right?
No, but the first arm glance. So I think the first contact was with, must have been the left hand, and that was like a brush, an open hand. It was the next one was sort of like that bracing for contact sort of position, which reminded me of the Nat Fife one.
Yeah.
That's why I thought. Yeah. And he got in strife because they said, well, if you're going to make contact, you probably put palms up. You don't put elbows.
Don't put the
forearms out.
That's right.
So I can accept that.
That's the one thing, right, that I think he puts himself, if there is any case to answer, and he's been reported, so there's a case to answer, but if it's going to go anywhere, it'll go somewhere because he's put the forearm where he shouldn't have put the forearm.
328 games, I think it is, never been suspended.
Well, we'll wait and see.
You know those people in the crowd, he always does that. Dirty. He always. Get your elbows down. Well, he's never done it before.
He hasn't. So there you go.
I've got one for you.
Go on.
Three first quarters from the weekend by three teams were spectacular. Which was the best quarter of football, the most purest? I'll give them to you. Pies v Port, Friday night.
Yeah, pretty good.
7-6-3 behinds. The Giants v the Saints in Canberra. 8-2 to the Saints, 2-1. Or the Kangas yesterday. 5-4 to 2 behinds.
No, that's a distant third. Collingwood.
Pies was the best quarter of football this year.
Yeah, close, I reckon.
No, I'm with you. No, I'm glad you agree with that.
Well, why do you think so?
I call it pure. It was just everything. If you went in with a plan and an intensity against an opposition that you know, Friday Night Lights, they've had some really good away from home wins. Ken Hinckley has said at least once, if not twice, our best win for the club in his time. You look at that round one against the D's, it doesn't quite look as good as it does at the time. No. But Port were up for the fight. And I still like the way that Port line up with their structure and their players. But the Pies just dismantled them. And the bit that I loved about it, Andy, was there's a way that the Pies play, and in particular their forward line. They get really high. They like to create a lot of space over the back. Port were trying to cover that space. So a young Jaden Stevenson, his second year of football, recognises what the opposition are doing. Instead of keep on leading back into that space, would duck back on them, would come back up at the football. and has, was it six shots a goal, five shots a goal in the first quarter, yeah, and almost puts the game to bed. It was just as simple as that. I was really, really impressed by their ability to take what the opposition gave them.
Del, they've got at least four small to mid forwards who don't need to go into the midfield to justify their existence to anyone.
Yep.
They're just in the side to be forwards.
Yes.
That they're not yearning. They don't seem to be. Jaden Stevenson doesn't seem to be. Oh yeah, I'm waiting for my turn to get through the midfield. Mm. They don't seem to be.
Yep.
Jamie Elliott, Jordan DeGoey seems. Oh, I'll go in there if they need me. Oh, you spoke
bit of
to
Hoskin Elliott.
A bit him the same. Mm. But they are just so loaded when it comes to options inside forward 50. Jaden Stevenson is such a natural forward. He moves like a 6 foot four full forward in the body of a 6 foot one and a half, 6 foot two.
They're the ones that often get in the way of the key forwards. Right. They read it so well, but they're working so well together. They're not actually encroaching on each other's leading space. They actually work really well systematically together. But you have to give some credit to the individuals, obviously, but the way that they're being coached. Now, we're living in this society of AFL football where it's structure and it's game plan and it's system defensively first, but also offensively, that on turnover, you want to know where your teammates are or roughly where they're going to be on turnover because it happens so quick. But these guys, from what I'm seeing, particularly on Friday night, sitting there and watching the game, they play like they're 12 years old.
Yeah,
they see a turnover on a halfback flank and out comes Langdon and out comes Crisp and they say, well, I know where this football's got to go.
Yep.
I'm going to get there first. And they just read it so beautifully. It's a pleasure to watch.
It is. You're here for William McCafe Coffee in Tow. McCafe are our coffee partner. Smooth barista-made coffee from McCafe, available 24/7. And, of course, you like making your trips exciting. Scooty two-wheel taxis do just that. 1-300-736-736. Lee is in Sunbury and wants to put something on the agenda right from the word go with you, Nick Del Santo. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Andy. I'm feeling the pain with the Blues.
Yeah, no, it was a painful day yesterday, Lee. No doubt about that, mate.
I was sitting there. I took my six-year-old boy, Sam, and he made a couple of funny comments, which I think summarised the feelings of a Carlton fan. In the first quarter, halfway through, he said, Dad, I think they've been training in white tops all week. I keep kicking it to the white tops. Mm. I thought, yeah, son, that's called a turnover. So they won't turn over to him.
Yes.
And then the second quarter, he said, I hope Maddie Press-Barkas is still training, Dad. I think she'll get a game next week. She'll tackle harder than the boys and at least she'll kick to the blue tops. I go, yeah, she's probably right. And the best comment after halftime, he came out and said, oh, the Oz kick kids are still playing, Dad. When are the men's team going to come out? Now, that was about 10 minutes into the third quarter.
Yeah, no, he's good. Yeah,
it was a funny little 6-year-old.
Hey, Lou, we had to try and find something yesterday, I reckon, Carlton supporters, because, Dale, you were there. You saw it. There was a hope that those type of losses were a thing of the past.
Yes.
Every side's going to cop a loss every now and again.
But
that was they were, for large parts of that game, they were non-competitive, which is an indictment, I reckon.
I tipped the Blues earlier on in the week when the tips were asked to be sent through, and then I changed it about an hour and a half out from the game. Yep. It just, obviously with the players out, first of all,
and
when you're a young developing team, and I don't need to repeat this for the Blues supporters, they know this better than anybody else, and yourself included, Andy, the leadership is so important. And what leadership would look like yesterday, for example, in that first quarter is the ability to maintain possession, that you don't necessarily have to score. You minimise the opposition for one, scoring, but two, getting their hands on the football. So you can control the pace of the game, and often that's how you change momentum. You take the ball away from the opposition. You may not even take much yardage. You don't go down the field very often, but everyone has a touch.
Yep.
You calm your nerves. You've had a touch of the footy, and you move your way through that first 10 to 15 minutes. But what I saw from the Kangas, which made me a little bit frustrated that they haven't done this for the previous 5 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
It had a bit of venom about it.
Oh, mate.
It had some purpose.
100%.
They wanted to hurt in a legal way.
Yep,
they attacked the football, but every time that the Blues got the ball, and Cripps was a part of it, and I wouldn't mind touching on the way that they went at Cripps, they were there to hurt. They wanted their tackles to sting. They wanted them to stay on the ground a little bit longer. They wanted to push them as they were getting off the ground, so they had to get a little bit more extra effort or exert more energy. It just had a bad smell about it real early. That one were coming to swing punches, the other team, the Blues, came to touch gloves and see how the day would play out.
I don't know whether you've got the list, the 22 versus 22 in front of you there.
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm going to hand it over to you in a moment. The Carlton team's there. I'm going to read out. Cunnington, Zeebel, Higgins, McMillan, Tarrant, Thompson, right?
Yes.
Good North Melbourne men. Been around for a long time.
Yes.
They were a six or seven man band with others, but they're the long term North blokes who decided to do something about it yesterday, right?
Yep.
All the things you're talking about. Drop a shoulder, knock a bloke over, run through a tackle, dare the young bloke to stick it if he could, and they couldn't more often than not.
Yep.
Go through the Carlton list. And be brutal here, just be honest.
Yep.
Who were the Carlton blokes who played with the same vigour that North Melbourne's leaders brought to the table?
I've got one that springs to mind off the top, and it wasn't his greatest day. His numbers probably look better than the way they actually played. That's obviously Cripps. He finished with 26 disposals.
He worked his way into it.
Yeah, that's probably jumped up on me a little bit.
Name the others. Honestly, be honest with
me. I'll struggle. To be completely honest,
I'll be surprised if you find another one, mate.
Wiedering Battle.
He tried his hardest.
He's a battler, isn't he? He's a grappler and he's a big lumper for kids. So
he still didn't play with the.
No.
He didn't bring the aggression that the North blokes brought, but I thought he held his own. But who else? Who played with the. Fire at fire?
No.
No one, mate.
No one. They've got some senior players, but they had a lot out. They did have a lot out. I know you're frustrated. It looked different, didn't it? And sometimes we say, and I often say this, you can feel it. Sometimes you can't see it, you can't touch it, but it just has a feel about it. And I'll touch on it now. I want to speak about Jack Zeebel, and then let's talk about it, because I know it's one of the things I want to talk about in Stop Go. Jack Zeebel goes to the coaching staff midweek and says, as captain of this football club, under the pump, I want the responsibility of the opposition's best player.
How good's that?
I'm going to Cripps.
It's what
Don't
happened.
Put me at full forward anymore, Brad. He only went into the midfield last week because Higgins went down with gastro. When they were in Adelaide, that's the only reason he went into the midfield.
Of
a solid go.
Well, this was one of his stop and go. He's a midfielder, right?
He's only a midfielder. Now, it worked well last year with the dynamic and the amount of opportunities he was getting. But you look at him as a mid, and I feel like you need to defend him or at least justify and explain why Jack Zeebel hasn't had a huge impact. He's captain of the football club. Really hard to captain the football club out of the goal square when the ball's not coming down there very often. Really hard to have an impact when you're the third string or the third option going inside forward 50. Ben Brown's number one. Mason Wood would get the second opportunity because where his position. And third, and if there's a chance, it's Jack Zeebel.
Yeah.
So he's not getting the same opportunity to impact games as he did last year. But also just generically, as a forward, you don't have the same opportunity. Now, he hasn't been tackling and pressuring, but that's okay. What Jack is really good at, Andy, is playing on ball.
Yeah.
And you saw it last week. His numbers last week looked really good. 24 disposals, 2 goals and 6 tackles when he goes into the midfield. Went to Tom Rockcliffe throughout the game, so changed his role and had to minimise Tom Rockcliffe's impact on the game and did a reasonable job. Yesterday, goes to Cripps. First quarter, he kicks a goal, has 7 disposals and a couple of tackles. Cripps, 2 handballs. He butts heads and literally butted heads with Daisy Thomas in that contest on centre wing, splits Daisy open. Jack just bounces off and away he goes again. That is what Jack Zeebel is really good at. He gets exposed on the outside because he's not elite at spreading and he's not an elite runner. But what he's a fine, fine player at is just going nose to nose and toe to toe with the opposition's best mids.
Contest.
Give him as many contests as you can and you'll get your money's worth with Jack Zeebel.
Look, you know what? As a recruiter, You shunt those blokes down your pecking order, when you favour a fleet footed runner, you push the Jack Zeebels down to the detriment of your footy club. If you ask me,
everyone needs them.
Oh mate, they are.
Kangas have got two. They've got Zeebel and they've got Cunnington.
Yep.
Now Cunnington runs around like he should be playing third grade local football. Like he just is the most unassuming, really good A grade player in the competition. And he loves contests.
Yep. No, he's a ripper. Del, there's a lot of people want to talk to you. Patrick is in Point Cook and he's one of those. Good afternoon to you, Patrick.
Andy, Nick, love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
A couple of things. I'm doing a bit of a double dip. My ears pricked up when you mentioned that Judd should have preferential treatment for premium players. I must admit that Judd got the most preferential treatment of all in regards to, you know, players that were looked after. His Brownlow year, he was very lucky not to get suspended for his elbow on Pavlich's face where he needed to get stitched up. And I must think that he's very lucky to consider himself a two-time Brownlow medalist.
That's probably a reasonable point, Patrick. He's probably lucky he got away with that one, Juddy. I mean, I'm still not sure. He doesn't get away with that in 2019, does he?
No, but it wasn't 2019.
No.
And I agree. I just think if we're going to go into the depths of working out who deserves special treatment when it comes to tribunal, like, how deep's the list? Like, how good do you have to be?
There would have been days when you would have felt, the bloke's all over me, I'm getting nothing. I mean, any ball player who's...
We all get frustrated, though. Like, I wasn't an overly aggressive person. I wasn't throwing punches, but I remember playing against Andrew Corazzo in particular. I was going to strangle him, and he probably bashed me in the fight as well, Andy, but I thought, I just want to just take my... I didn't get a touch for the whole damn game.
Did you say anything to the umpires during the day?
Not really. I mean, there might be times as you're working through a stoppage, you've got your arms out thinking, is there any danger of getting some sort of recognition on being, being held for 2 hours? But I just think it's risky if we start going down the path of saying, well, it's okay if Dusty can elbow him here and Buddy's allowed to do that over there. But sorry, Liam Stocker, I know it's your first game, but if you touch anyone, you're having another week off.
James Cousins. When Gazza walks out with $1,000, cop the early plea, take the $1,000. Yes. See you later. Craig's in Montrose. Good afternoon, mate.
Good afternoon, Andy. Well, it's not such a good afternoon really, mate, is it, for us? But I try to support him, mate, but I really thought we were over that rubbish yesterday. I really did. And as for the blokes going out flat, I mean, gee whiz. We are a young, vibrant team full of young, supposedly vibrant players. How the hell you could turn up for a game of football flat when you are trying to improve and we hear all this and you're trying to impress? You're trying to impress still. You're trying to improve. You've got no position to turn up to a game flat. I mean, North Melbourne were on yesterday. It was no mistake that they were going to come out breathing fire. Surely the message had to be before the start of the game, we have to match them in that area of intensity that they're going to hit us with. Surely that was.
It had to be, Craig, and it wasn't. And stay on the line, because I know whether you heard Ed Curnow this morning with the boys on Brekkie, but he joined Gary and Tim, and good on him for fronting up. To your point, Craig, this is what Ed Curnow had to say about the mindset going into that game yesterday.
One of the most disappointing things about yesterday's game was that, like all games are played this year, we really turned up with that solid effort and play the style that we really wanted to play based on the back effort of the contest and work rate. And I reckon we took it for granted and boys were embarrassed for their performance and basically could only come to the assumption that a lot of us just thought it was going to happen and thought that the effort and contest work that I've talked about that we've had been so good, we were just going to roll into the game. We were going to be able to deliver that kind of consistent effort that I feel like has been strong for our team.
And he was embarrassed to admit that that's what he thought was the mindset. But it was
good honesty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you have to. He'll get criticised and say, "Well, they," and we'll discuss it right now. But we want to know what they were thinking. Yep. We want some justification. So the answer is, according to Ed, we just assumed that we could rock up and we would be able to give that same effort because they'd done it for the previous. What, 4 weeks, Andy?
Yeah, their effort's been okay. Yeah, it's been good.
And
yeah.
I've been in those situations, so sometimes you look at it and you feel like you can relate to it and you go, well, that's the one bit you have to prepare for. And we always hear this, and I'll say it one more time. Coaches don't speak much about the skill level. Coaches don't talk a lot about the tactics and the ball movement in the moment or even the preparation for right before a game. It's all about the enthusiasm and the feel of going out there and competing. It's based on effort. So you walk off and they'll often say, did you tick off the trademark? Whatever their trademark may be, it's not based on if you had 36. Yeah. It's not based on if Cripps has been dominant again and Curnow's kicking goals. It's based on effort and it's based on putting your body on the line and sacrificing, covering for your teammates. That's never a given. It should be. And I can completely understand all the supporters, Blues in this example, but all them saying, how can you be a professional athlete? You prepare and get ready for this game for 7 days and front up and not do that and not turn up with your best effort. It's difficult.
Hey, mate, if you're 5-1 and you're coasting, maybe you need a little reminder. But when the win-loss is skewed the other way and you're coming off a couple of years of misery, you take nothing for granted.
Ed's just said... No, I'll let you go.
No, hang on. We'll get it after the latest from the newsroom. Right, let's whip through all of these calls before we get a break out of the way and then we'll get into stop and go. Del Santo, Julian's in Moorabbin, wants to have a chat about the Pies. Good afternoon to you, Jules.
Good afternoon, Andy, and what a glorious afternoon it is. The radio today has just been fantastic. It's been wall-to-wall Blues supporters wallowing in their own misery. How the weekend started was glorious. We had the real Magpies beating those South Australian fake Magpies, and then it went from strength to strength to strength. We had Richmond get caned, we had Carlton get caned, Essendon get caned, and just to top it off, the Hawks got beaten as well. What a weekend, boys.
Because you're on a high and I'm enjoying it and I yearn to feel that way one of these days, I'm going to give you a copy of A Rebel in Exile, the extraordinary story, Del, of Shane Kiwi Martin, thanks to our good friends at Hardy Grant Publishers. It's an extraordinary story, apparently.
Okay.
Rod's in, and I'm led to believe it is. Rod's in Wanturna. Good afternoon, mate.
G'day, mate. How are you? Let me preface this by saying that I'm not a Geelong supporter, but I'm very much a Gary Ablett fan. I love what he brings to the game.
Yep.
However, his report, it's either a suspension or it's thrown out because it's intentional. He's off the ground with an elbow out. Plus, so it's either insufficient force or it's a suspension. One of the two. There's no grey area there. And this thing about giving preferential treatment to the stars of the game, that doesn't wash. It's crazy.
Okay.
So you see the suspension. I reflect back to what happened to Grimes. It's exactly the same thing. Off the ground, elbow out. So it's either suspension or it's not. There's no fine. There's no grey area there.
Well, you will wait and see whether Mick Christian sees it your way. I have heard that argued across the weekend that if you do raise the forearm,
yes,
then you take careless off the table.
I've got no disagreements with what you're saying. I just feel like the fine says, well, we have punished him. We've taken a couple of thousand out of his pocket. We all move on. And then we walk away going, well, he sort of got a punishment, but he didn't really.
Well, he's a bit lucky.
Yeah, that's what I think will happen.
Yeah, thanks, Rod. Brendan's in Hastings. Good afternoon, mate.
Hey, Andy. Hey, Del, how are you going?
Good, mate.
Very good.
I'm going off a bit left field here, and I went in yesterday to put me multi on. I just have a little $10 multi on the three games on a Sunday. And North Melbourne were $1.55 and Carlton were $2.50. I was going to, like Del said earlier, looking at back in Carlton, I thought that'd be $1.80 and North Melbourne would be $2.20. So I'm just wondering, the word went around, there was a few problems with Carlton because, I mean, I'm struggling to find the form. I mean, you look at Carlton, the belt of the Bulldogs, and then the Bulldogs come out and belt Richmond, and it was just a bit strange. $1.55 to $2.50.
They got the blows. When the markets first opened, I think Carlton was favourite in that one. The market shifted dramatically once
the injuries came through.
Yeah, the injuries came through. So I think that's the one that skewed the odds that way.
Correct.
Pete's in Altona. Good afternoon, mate.
Yeah, Rainer and Nick, how are you, boys?
We're very good. What are we discussing?
Well, there's a couple of things. Look, Carlton, losing Cruiser and Kate Simpson, mate, they are huge for that side. They are absolutely massive. Jed Anderson, mate, I reckon he's turned the corner. He played a great game yesterday.
He doesn't mind the contest. He's prepared to stand in the way of a couple when they come at him.
He's one of those guys with pointy shoulders.
Yes.
That really, when it stings, he's done it a few times at training where you, Jed, just, you know, pull up a little bit. Okay. We're on the same team. We're trying to get ready for the weekend. To be completely honest with Jed, I'm glad you brought him up because there is different players in the league that sort of have turned their careers around. I thought he was a bit of a surprise inclusion when he came to North Melbourne. And after a year or so, I thought, oh, he might have to finish up his career here. It's just not working. He had some injuries, but he has changed and is a different look in their midfield as well. He's just hard at it.
Yeah.
What that means is it allows people like Higgins and probably the better ball users and the smoother movers to get on the outside and card and zig and zag. So I like that. So when they're going well, the Kangas, it looks really balanced. Zeeble, Cunnington, hard-nosed inside. Higgins is the X factor and just delightful to watch.
Yep.
And then you get someone like Jed and they bring through a Jamon and all of a sudden it looks okay when they're playing decent football.
They got multi, and we obviously people want to spend a lot of time talking about Carlton today, but
yeah.
North Melbourne got outstanding response and service from a lot of players yesterday. They all responded.
Which is an interesting conversation itself, Andy, because we even last week you and I sat here and we discussed if they are going to go to the draft, who's got any value?
Yeah.
So then you see them perform in the week and you think, okay, maybe I could see some value in Jermont or whoever it may be, whichever player you want to pick, okay, now I can see why they're a decent player. But the frustrating bit for North Melbourne supporters is that feeling hadn't been there for the last month.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. Ashley's in Echuca. Hello, mate.
G'day, fellas. How you doing?
Thank you.
Good.
That's the way. Hey, boys, listening to David King this morning calling it a three-horse race with Pies, GWS and Geelong for the flag. Now, out of those three, which one do you reckon are in their best form, and which one of those three do you think has got their best form still to come at the end of the year?
I respect what the Cats have done. I'm going to do some numbers on them this week, Andy. I think the Cats
are too early.
What we see right now, it is absolutely it is. This is qualifying, isn't it? Like, this is the qualifying period. It goes for a bloody long time, 22 weeks. It's more the last month or 5 or 6 weeks of the year to get that continuity with your playing list, and then to roll it into the finals. I respect what the Cats do. I just feel like they're probably playing as good as they can right now. Like they're playing some decent football. I've seen the Giants a few times. I still get really excited about what they can do.
Yeah, I know.
They've got injuries.
Did you tip them at the start of the year? Did you go with them again at the start of the year?
I think a silly me might have. No, I think I might have had the D's. Yeah, I was one of those.
Oh.
Yeah, I forgot to change it real late. But I've loved the Giants. And I love their individual players. But how could you question the Pies as well?
No,
right,
you can't.
Now? And then the conversation, well, Mason Cox isn't there. Is he in their best team? Oh, what a bad scenario that would be to bring in an 8-foot American just to, you know, at least compete. What I love about the Pies, which a lot of clubs aren't doing, is they just adjust and they just make it up on the fly. And it's working for them. They're the three. Still holding my breath on West Coast, just trying to work out where they sit in the mix.
Oh, they're still, way too early, I reckon. They're flying at the moment, the three, and they are a cut, or they look a cut above their best at the moment, but, gee, there's a long way to go. Scotty's on the road. We'll get a break out of the way after Scotty, and hopefully squeeze a few more before we get to stop and go. Del Sano, hey, Scotty, what do you want to talk about, mate?
Just talk about the Blues, right? I'd rather talk a little bit, not positive in what we did yesterday, but we played reactive football, and the 2 weeks before against the Bulldogs and Hawthorne, we played proactive football. I'd rather go down swinging than playing this reactive game that they played yesterday, and we're no good at it. Why we don't play up the lines and attack, play some attacking football is beyond me after what we... And I know, look, we're missing Cruiser, and I've said to my mates, we won't win a game unless Cruiser's in the side, and I still believe that. No Cruiser, no Carl. But we were so reactive yesterday. It was terrible.
I'm sure they didn't want to do that. That wasn't planned, Scott. I just reckon they were, and Del, feel free to join in, but I reckon they were knocked. They were knocked off their line and length after within the first 5 minutes of that game.
Absolutely.
They were just, oh, hello. These blokes are a bit serious and a bit intent today.
They were going through the line of the football, and I've referenced the Zeba one with Thomas, and they both went at the footy. Thomas gets split open as a result. But the amount, it just looked like, particularly some of the players from North that have been around for 10 years, have got hard bodies, well aware that when they get tackled, they can either get out of it or release it at least when they want to. And you've got these young players from the Blues that are still finding their way physically. And they just shrugged them off at certain times. They're getting don't argue. So there's a message come through. I'm not kidding myself in regards to North and where they're at. There's no illusions that they rolled the Blues yesterday and the Blues were really, really poor. But their next challenge is they have to front up and do it again this week against the Cats.
No, a huge test.
Do it against the really good teams. At least see where that sits them.
Yep.
And it may be poor. It may not be good enough. But at least you know when you're going up against the best what it looks like.
Let's clear a break. Born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Nick Del Santo in the studio. Stop and go. Del Santo on the other side of this. Right, stop and go, Del Santo.
Let's go.
You know how it works.
Yes.
Assuming escape sanction from the win over Essendon, Geelong star Gary Ablett can win the Brownlow.
Go. Jeremy, not true.
Jeremy Cameron is the best player in the competition this season.
Stop.
And can kick 100 goals.
Stop and stop. Correct and correct. I've been very fortunate to watch a couple of his really good games. He played the Tigers at, I think they call it the Showgrounds or the Giants, whatever. They sold it to themselves. The Giant Oval, which was interesting.
No one else wanted to buy it.
We've got great news. We've got a new sponsor. We've bought it ourselves. It's our stadium. I was there for that game. I think he kicked 7.
Yes.
And I was there on the weekend. Mm. I now have that feeling, and I've had it with Buddy. I sometimes get it with Whitfield and Kelly. So the individuals, while I'm thinking, I'm really glad I'm working this game.
Yeah, right.
Because I love watching those sort of players.
Good.
I'm now getting that with Jeremy Cameron. And I watched him on the weekend. His ability to move, and there's a lot of it that's natural, like the way that he moves, but his ability to get from halfback flank and then to get up to the other end, he is like a gazelle. And he's cruising speed, Andy. I know you enjoy jogging. His cruising speed would be uncomfortable for everybody else. It's just naturally faster.
Yeah, right, yep.
There was this one passage play. I want to talk you through it. I think everyone's seen the mark that he goes back with the flight of it. Yep. A beautiful grab. Great courage, great execution. He marked that initially on centre wing. He initiated the switch into the middle of the ground. The ball then got switched further to the outer side. He runs point A to point B and marks it in the goal square. It's just... Yeah. He's a delight to watch. He's now sniffing around 50 like Buddy does, waiting for the handball like a small midfielder so he can snap one from 45. He's the best player in the competition right now best to watch.
Top of his game. Seven rounds in, I put to you that the standard of footy this year is at best underwhelming.
Correct.
So go.
I don't want to be negative.
Aaron Norton is the most exciting forward the Dogs have had since Chris Green. I know. And for the last 2 weeks we've been saying he should be thrown back because he hasn't had a sniff for 2 weeks. Then he jumps up and does that.
The most exciting forward, without being disrespectful, it's not hard to be because the criticism of the Dogs is that they haven't had a forward line. And I know those Dogs. Well, we won the flag in 2016. I know you did. But you didn't have much of a forward line. You just happened to get the job done really well on that particular day. His signs, his marking ability, his contested marking ability on the weekend, it would be hard to argue that, wouldn't it?
Essendon is no further advanced in 2019 than it was last season. Stop or go?
Go. Do you want to chat about that? I feel like
I'm a watch on Essendon.
Well, they're definitely in front of where they were last year because they were 1-7.
Yeah, they walk out of the MCG game and we're all thinking that is the...
Anzac Day.
Anzac Day game. That is the performance of a contender.
Yep.
And then yesterday, again, I was at Docklands, so I didn't get to see... I watched that game on replay during the week, so I haven't seen much of it. I'm not sure how much of it you've seen at this stage. It just sounded like Geelong had them covered for a long, long, long period of that match.
And early on as well.
Yep, yep. Josh Jenkins' time is up at the Adelaide Crows. Elliot Himmelberg's come in, looks comfortable. They seem to be functioning a bit better without Jenkins. He's the sort of player that should be looking elsewhere beyond 2019. Stop or go?
Go. Only because I want to look into that a little bit closer. I feel like if I speak about it now, it would be uneducated.
West Coast won't finish in the top four.
Oh, geez, you've loaded up.
Team Ace is in a savage mood today because Carlton got beaten yesterday, so he wants you to confront the big ones.
West Coast won't finish in the top four.
They are 4-3. They're outside the eight. They've got a percentage of 93.7. I'll tell you what. Saturday night, Docklands.
Mm.
If St Kilda beats them this week.
Yes.
If West Coast fair dinkum.
Yep.
They beat St Kilda.
Correct.
If they're fair dinkum, they beat St Kilda.
Correct.
Are you prepared to say that if St Kilda beat them 8 weeks into the season, they'll be 50-50 at that stage. Percentage will be around about 90 if they get beaten by the Saints.
Yeah.
The chances of them getting into a position to defend.
Yes.
Are hanging by a thread.
Their best case scenario would be bottom half of the top eight.
Chad Wingard is a really good footballer.
Yes.
But he's not a great culture guy. Stop or go?
Let's stop.
Discuss that, please.
This is really delicate, Andy. That's a real... He's a good footballer at the moment, isn't he?
Oh, he's not a very really... good player.
He has been a very, very good player. All-Australian twice, I believe.
He's dead spot on. Time at Port Adelaide, best and fairest from his first year. Outside top 10, 12. Winner, 8th. Runner-up, outside top 10 in 2016, 8th and 6th.
So he won it in his second year, the best and fairest.
Yep.
Two-time All-Australian.
Mm. Runner-up as well.
Now, the difficulty with this, Andy, is it's hard to define culture. I think we already struggle, you know, even in society and, you know, the workplace, what culture
is. Is Jack Zeeble a good culture guy?
Yes.
Okay. Nick Revolt,
because I know them.
Nick's
okay.
Is Patrick Cripps, you never played with him?
No.
Is Patrick Cripps a good culture guy?
I would only assume so.
Is, you never played with Scott Pendlebury?
Look at you trying to set me up
here. Is Scott Pendlebury a good culture guy?
I would only assume so.
Is Chad Wingard a good culture guy?
I don't know definitively enough because I'm not in that environment. What I have seen as a player, so and I don't want to.
It's a fair call.
And I think what's fair from our point of view, and to put it in perspective, we comment on what we see.
It's really
hard to be there. What I saw on the weekend was what we've all seen, is some of the leaders and the really experienced players at the Hawks speaking to Chad. We don't know what they were saying, but it looked like it was this system of, you fall in line with us. This is how we go about it. You don't do that. You do this. Whatever the conversation may have been. When I looked at Chad even last year at Port, there was reasons he was on the outer.
Mm.
Now, those style of players, when they're up and going, there's no one like them. Yep. They're the X factor. They're, yep, they're the reason we pay money to go watch them play. When they're poor, they look worse than everybody else. Now, sometimes you need to take the good with the bad. That's the beauty of these style of players. But the trust and the security and the feeling you have towards your teammates varies with those styles of players, because it's not the consistent style, yeah, of football. You look at a Jager O'Meara at the moment.
Mm.
Is he a good cultural guy? We don't really know, but what I see by the way that he plays, he has an almighty crack every single time. A Ben McAvoy's come from another football. You know what you're going to get from them. I look at Chad and I'm not sure.
Yeah, then I think that's fair. Unless you're inside and you know them.
I'm not trying to avoid the question.
No. I think it's a fair...
Culture's a really hard thing. The Hawks, you have to say, over the last two decades, have had as good a culture as anybody else. But if you don't fit into that system, then you get weeded out.
We're searching for reasons as to why Port Adelaide seemed comfortable allowing Chad Wingard to go, given the fact that their ultimate internal rating system, the club being F, one, two, three, four, five out of 7 years, he finished inside the top 10. One, two, seven. Four times in 7 years he finished in the top 10.
Yep.
And yet they were happy for him to.
Yeah.
That's not the body of work that suggests we want to let this bloke go.
There's something about that.
Mm.
Doesn't that say more than what it doesn't say?
Well, that's what we're searching for, I think. And it's in between the it's in between the cracks somewhere lies the story. And he can prove himself to be a brilliant culture guy by giving Hawthorn exactly what they need. Dal, last one. We've got a minute.
Yes.
Umpires got the head ducking, arm lifting, knee dropping better on the weekend.
Go. Don't want to talk about it. Have you saved that till last?
That was I have saved it till last.
I can see it's Henry.
I have saved it till last. I reckon it's taken them a while, but I think most of us who go, he's dropped his eyes, lift the arms, he's ducked the head. I reckon we were satisfied. The chorus of us who have wanted those players to get pinned, I reckon they got ignored. Their attempts, by and large, got ignored on the weekend.
Agreed. And do you feel like our focus and our frustration has gone to other areas of umpiring and filled that void of frustration, Andy?
Yeah, of course it has.
Yeah.
And it always will.
Yeah, well, we tick that one off and move across one.
Good. I think we should give them credit where if they get it right somewhere along the line, because we're all very happy to lay the boots in when we think they've got it wrong.
Mm.
Is that that's a reasonable call, isn't it?
Absolutely spot on.
You have to turn up on Wednesday because it's your share for coffee.
I'll see you next week.
Can you bring them a cafe?
I'll see you next week.
Right. Nick Del Santo.